This week's piece of music is called Devetrag Number 2. It was written by my good friend, my brother, my producer, Sean Burton. Written and performed by him. It was a piece of music that we did not end up using in the episode of Devetrag, which we premiered this week on Thursday. But we're going to talk a little bit more of that a little later in the show. Hi, my name is Herschel Zond, and you are listening to the Film Aspire podcast. And I am very excited to be talking to you today at the end of my first week as a freelance entrepreneur, filmmaker, video production person. Started out the week with 2 days booked to work, and I ended up working 4 with my friends at 180, Mike, Archie, Aaron. Love you guys. Also this week, we had our big premiere for Devetrag, which if you're not following me on social media, please do look me up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all under ZAHNDH23. That's usually my handle for everything on those social media sites. We put our first episode out for public view for the first time, which is, as a director and a filmmaker, it's always very nerve-wracking to me to have to do that. But that is kind of the end result. If you're, I always think about Finding Forrester. What's the point of having a cabinet full of writing if no one ever gets to read it? So, you know, if you're making movies and you're not putting them up for public consumption, you're kind of missing the point. You've got to actually get it out there, get it in front of an audience, and take the feedback, good and bad. You know, you want to hear all those things as you're going along. So we had that going on this week, had lots of work days. I'm very tired on this day. I've actually woke up at 6:30, which I did that almost every day this week. I have spent the last 16 years going to bed around 6:30, between 4:30 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. And now all of a sudden I'm getting up at that time. So that's been an interesting switch. Tried to get back to the gym a little bit, and you know, I'm feeling really good. Everything's been going really well. So where should we start? Let's start with Devetrag, because that was exciting. We, on Thursday at the Grand in New Albany, did publicly display the I want to call it a film because that's my natural inclination, but it's actually a television spec pilot that we put together. We had a really nice turnout at the event. Sean Burton, who just went all out putting together an amazing event for everybody to enjoy. And we had, you know, filmmakers, cast, crew, family, community leaders. We had all sorts of amazing people show up at this event. Probably, you know, about 200 people, which you say 200 people, that's not a lot. But for, you gotta, if you know our area, you know, for an event in New Albany, it's cold outside, it's December, it's Pearl Harbor Day. There's a lot of things going on that worked against getting people into this event and to see this film. And we had a really nice turnout. I mean, I was very, very impressed. My great fear was that we'd show up and there'd be 10 people there. And Sean went all out on this. We had a Humvee there with a 50 cal on it. They had the marquee set up. He had a step and repeat banner with a red carpet and a production crew to interview everybody. I mean, I was terrified there was going to be all this production and all this pomp and circumstance and there'd be nobody there. But I walked in and was very pleasantly surprised. We had an amazing turnout, and you know, the film played. It's not flawless, you know. I'm one of those artists that I'm never satisfied with what I create, and I'm okay with that, because I said frequently, if I ever make something I'm completely satisfied with, I'm going to have to find something else to do, because there won't be anything to chase. There won't be anything to improve upon. So I hope I never make that perfect film. I hope I'm always just a little bit disappointed in the final end result. You know, there's a lot of things I'm always proud of, even going back to my first projects. There's things I'm very, very proud of. And there's also things that make me groan and want to drink. I'm always chasing that next better version of me. Matthew McConaughey said that in his acceptance speech for the Academy Award, that, you know, the person I look up to the most is the person I'm going to be in 10 years. And I really admire that mindset. So had a great turnout. We're currently trying to figure out what the next steps with Devetrag are. Yeah, I think my favorite comment that I heard from more than one person was that I wish it didn't end. I wanted to see more. When's the next episode? What happens next? These are all the things that when you're producing TV, at least from my perspective, that I really want to hear. I want to hear that people were engaged, sitting on the edge of their seat, leaning towards the screen. What's going to happen next? And that's what we got. There are a lot of things that we could have done better, and I've learned, and we're going to make sure that those things happen moving forward. But that'll be for the next incarnation, the next step of what we're doing. So great event there. Like I said, my first full week as an entrepreneur, as a full-time video freelancer. And that was a step that I wanted to kind of elaborate on, because I've had a few people, not a lot, because most people have known that this was coming for a while. But a lot of people have asked me, you know, why'd you walk away? Why'd you leave your job? And I wanted to address that a little bit, because I don't want to give anybody the impression that this was a snap decision, because it was not. This was actually always in my six-month plan. I was planning to leave my job somewhere around June, July of 2018. However, there were some things that happened in August of this year that kind of changed that. And I'm not going to go too far into these details, but basically there were some untruths that were told about me, not in a sense of I didn't do the things that I was accused of doing, which because I did. I just had some untruths told about the context in which I did them. And, you know, I'll just be very blunt. I was accused of throwing ID badges at the new hires. Right. So, you know, I was actually tossing them underhand. You know, I'd say somebody's name, hey, Jimbo. And they'd say yes. And I'd throw the ID badge over to them. And how you doing? Welcome. And people were saying that I was, you know, throwing them at them, and they were dropping them on the ground, and everybody was embarrassed. And what's funny is this was actually an icebreaker tactic that was taught to me by the company. So that's where the kind of contextual lies were told. And it was just an excuse to get me out of the department that I was working in. And I was sent back out to work in my old department, which is a job that truly I had fallen out of love with. I was not happy when I left that particular job function, and I really enjoyed what I was doing. So to be cast back out into that ether and being forced to work in that environment again, just with my health, with, you know, I have psoriasis very badly on my hands, and, you know, being outside working and pulling and pushing and dealing with the wet and the cold, that aggravates that condition. And, you know, I just didn't want to do that job anymore. So it was at that point that, you know, I had to sit down and really discuss with my wife, Mary Ellen, that, you know, maybe it's time to really take this next step. And we put together a plan. And that's what I want to talk about really in this episode, is that when you make a big life change, you need to make sure you have a plan. Snap decisions are great when, you know, it's which candy bar to buy, which movie to see, you know, maybe even, you know, where we're going to dinner tonight. Make those spontaneous decisions. But when it's I need to leave my job and start a new career, that's something you really have to plan for. And that's what we did. We looked at our financial situation very carefully. We scrutinized it to a pretty hefty degree. And I knew that I had to pay off this amount of debt to be able to make this happen. And that became my goal. I started working like a dog. And that's what I've done since August. I have taken every job that I can possibly get my hands on, and I have paid off and paid off and paid off, and I've still got a lot to go. But the overall goal was to get me out of there before the Christmas season started, because that's when the crazy starts. And I managed to do that. And, you know, we had an original date. I was originally going to leave by November 1st, and it just wasn't right. So I had to back that date up. And I've talked about that in previous shows, that you have to make sure that time is right. And when you're an independent filmmaker, or, you know, micro-budget filmmaker, as I like to say, time is on your side. You don't always have those firm, hard deadlines. So, you know, you miss a deadline for starting a film or getting the edit out, you know, guess what? You make another one. You know, when there's no money involved, you don't have anybody to answer to but yourself. So I decided to stay on another month. And I gave notice on I think it was November 5th, because my boss was on vacation. So that was a nice welcome back from vacation. Hey, I'm quitting. And I put my notice in, and December 1st was my last day. And that was the plan. We worked together to make that the end result of all of this other work that I had been doing. And, you know, you might be sitting there thinking, listening to this, so what, you quit your job? Woo-hoo. Okay. To that point, let's just very quickly, and I'm going to do this for myself so I remember it, let's take stock of what I've actually given up here. All right. I worked for this company for 16 years, okay, both as a union employee and as management. So I have walked away from 16 years worth of stability, 5 weeks of vacation, paid vacation time, health insurance, that's a big one. You know, I walked away from that. And I was consistently putting away from my retirement, which, you know, I have often said that I gave up on the idea of retiring years ago because I don't actually believe that my generation will ever have the luxury of retiring. And, you know, I don't want to retire. I want to always be doing something with my time. So the idea of, you know, retiring and sitting at home watching Wheel of Fortune and, you know, going to dinner every night, that doesn't appeal to me at all. I always want to be doing something. You know, if I'm lucky, I'll be like Mickey Rooney and being on a set at 95 years old and going home and passing away. You know, that's an ideal thing for me. I would love to be working right up until the day I die because I love doing this stuff that much. But those are the main big points: a consistent salary, insurance, retirement, paid vacations, all those things are gone. And as of, you know, I believe midnight tonight, all of those things go away. I can't even really call and say, hey, I want to come back. I left on good terms and I could go back, but I lose all of those things. 16 years of seniority, the pay rates, all those things are gone. So that was what really weighed heavily on my mind as I'm making this decision. But the thing that really helped me was I remembered an axiom, and I don't remember who said it originally. It's certainly not me, and probably the person that I heard it from, it was not their original thought either. But with what I was going through, it resonated so much with me. And that was simply, if something in your life is not working, change it. And I've said that to people, and they said, oh, that's easy to say, not to do. And yes, they are right. It is very easy for someone not involved in a situation to say, hey, yeah, if something's not working in your life, change it. Okay, but what about all the extenuating circumstances? And those are all things you have to weigh in. And I was goofy enough that I did a pro and con column for this when I really made this decision. I really wanted to be completely debt-free before I left my job, but that just wasn't realistic because the job had started to interfere with my ability to do the other work that it was allowing me to get out of debt. You know, there were several times with the change in the schedule that I was on that I was literally on set at 6:30 in the morning, sometimes 5:30 in the morning, working until 4 or 5 o'clock, going home, sleeping from maybe 6 to 11, maybe 6 to 10, and then I had to be at work by 11:30, and I would work until 6:30 the next day and be right back on set. And just, I was doing that days on end. I was working 16 to 18 hour days trying to get this done. And I know I've missed out on a lot of other work. And I've had several folks approach me and, oh, well, now that you're free, I'm going to call you. And I said, well, why weren't you calling me the whole time? But, you know, I have that ability now, and I'm trying to get as much work booked in as I possibly can. And that's what I want to do. But again, it all rolls back to something in my life wasn't working, and that was my job. And I had to choose, you know, either I need to stay here, abandon the, you know, all the video and film stuff. That's going to be the thing I do on the weekends for fun with my friends and stay at this job and try to advance. Or I need to make this radical change and go do what I want to do. And I had to decide to go do this other thing. I know I can find another job. They're out there, and people will say, oh, there's no jobs out there. Yes, there are. You have to be willing to A, look for them, and B, maybe take a job that you don't want to take to get to the next one. And that's a big problem that I see with people now, is they just don't want to do the, you know, it's kind of like Randy Quaid in Christmas Vacation. He's holding out for a management position, but they've never done anything to prepare them to be in a management position. They don't want to do the menial labor to learn the job so that they can then manage people doing that job. They just want to go straight to the top. And, you know, you see that same thing in the film industry. The joke that I've heard lately is there's two entry-level positions on a film set, PA and director, because a lot of people just want to show up on a film set and start being the director without having any idea how it works. And I've been on those sets. They're a nightmare. You really need to have somebody in that helm that knows the ins and outs of the job. And that's one thing I really appreciated about my job was that it was a rule that if you were a manager there, my crew, I had to be trained to do everything that they could do. So from driving the equipment to loading the aircraft to marshaling the aircraft, to some degree, I had to have training in all those areas to be able to manage those people. And that was really intelligent on the part of the company. They made them do that. And some people just don't want to do it. So as I move forward on this journey, that is going to be one of the big things that I'm looking for. If something's not working, I'm going to find a way to do something about it and change it. I'm no longer going to accept, well, I just have to live with that. No, I don't. And that's one of the things I'm so excited about. You know, one of the fun things that happened, I left this morning to go to the bank and deposit some checks that I had gotten in, and it started snowing. And always before, if it snowed, that meant my job got harder. And I hated snow. I've hated snow for 10 years. But it started snowing today. And instead of grimacing, I smiled and said, oh, it's snowing. Instead of, ugh, it's snowing. I got to enjoy that. And I'm enjoying Christmas music again for the first time in years. You know, I'm getting to rebirth my enjoyment of this season. And I think that's one of the most important things that have happened. So lots more to come here. I'll get more information on Divertrag. A lot of people are saying, when's it going to be posted? When's it going to be posted? Not for a while. We have no intention of publicly exhibiting it again. One thing is I have to go back in and tweak a few more little things, and it's not just me being overly critical of my own work or not willing to actually let it go. There's some legit things and some very bad problems that I still need to fix, mostly for other filmmakers that I know may see it, and you know, I don't want ever my work to be seen as subpar. I want to see my work as being, oh, well, they did the best they could with what they had, which on that film was nothing. We had no money on that film. We paid for that film on please and thank you. That's one of the things I said during the Q&A at the premiere. You know, you would be amazed how far you can get with please and thank you. And, you know, I always try and tell my crews, just imagine there's a please and thank you before and after everything I say, even if I'm, you know, stressed out or angry or things like that. You know, there's a please and thank you before and after everything I say, and a love you coming, you know, very quickly after that. That was a joke that Sean told. You know, I'm quick to say, everybody shut up, love you. But I wanted everybody to know that I appreciated what they did, you know, even when I was stressed out and trying to get things done. So this journey is now officially begun. We've come to the end of the first week. So I guess if this was Lord of the Rings, we're maybe about halfway out of Hobbiton. But I thank everybody for joining me on this journey, and I saw a little bit of the statistics. It's going to take us a little bit to get our audience back up. But if you do have any show topics, suggestions, guest suggestions, anything you'd like to hear my two cents on, please feel free to send me an email to filmaspire@live.com. I'm going to be getting a new email address, but that one is still active, so we're going to use that. filmaspire@live.com, show topic suggestions or guest suggestions. We've got some very exciting guests that are going to be coming up here in the next few weeks, probably not until after the new year. It's the Christmas time, and everybody's just trying to chill out at this point. Nobody wants to come on a podcast right now. So we will be getting some very, very exciting new content up as soon as we possibly can. We've got a film that we're starting. I'm very blessed to be working on Antonio Pantoa's first feature film, One Must Fall. We are starting that the first week of January, so it's going to be really, really exciting, mostly because I'm teaming back up on that film with Julie Strebel, who was the star of my first film, Girl Number 3. We haven't done a film together in a long, long... Well, we did a short, but not a feature. It's been a while since we worked on a feature together, so that's going to be really, really fun. And I'm sure there will be many, many life lessons and film lessons that come out of doing that, as always happens on a small independent film production. You can learn so much. So we're going to wrap this up. This is Herschel Zond with the Film Aspire podcast, reminding you to always tell your story.